In Galatians chapter 4, I want to begin reading at the first verse. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Heavenly Father, I can't thank you enough for this mercy. I don't understand this mercy. I don't know why you would have chosen to send your only begotten Son into this world who chose to hate you, chose to resist you. And I was a part of that. Why, Lord? Why would you show such mercy to us? We can't fathom. How could we possibly understand the depths of love of the eternal God who would go to such lengths to save and forgive and to declare us your own? Why would you want to be a father to us? But Lord, we thank you for the infinite love of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Praise you and thank you for this glorious salvation. Help us today as we touch on this subject one more time and make it a great blessing to us as your people. I ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus. For his sake, amen. Well, being Thanksgiving week, I thought one more time we should look at this astonishing line of truth that God has told us about and simply rejoice in it, marvel at it, look away from whatever trouble and struggle and problem you might have going on in your current life, to just bow in worship and praise that God would so love and choose to save a sinful soul like you. This morning we're thinking of the adoption privileges that are listed here or brought to cause us to think on and to consider, not only in this passage, but throughout all of the scriptures. Can I subtitle this as Heaven Opened? I have a treasured book in my library by that title, Heaven Opened. And it just goes through the glorious promises of Old Testament and New to show what God has done for us. It's an old writer from the 16 or 1700s. I don't remember which. But I've cherished that book. I won't loan it out. I won't let anyone touch it. It's my book. You'll have to go find a copy if you want on your own. But it's wonderful. And I have gone back and I have read over and over and over again the introduction of that. The writer just immediately carries you up into glory, into the astonishing promises of God's word that heaven has now been opened by the work of the Son of God. Think of it. Heaven is opened to you. You have privileges as God's children. Well, as I thought about all of this, another line of thought kind of gripped my thinking, and that is that all of you in here have in your possession a birth certificate. Our government has kept a record of all of our births. I have my birth certificate is an original. It has the raised seal on it. And, you know, you couldn't get a passport without having a birth certificate that had the actual seal of the state on it. Of course, mine's not from North Carolina. Mine's from West Virginia. And it lists my, I pulled it out yesterday just out of curiosity one more time, pulled it out and took a look at my birth certificate. And it lists my mother's name, my father's name, gives my father's occupation, gives the place where I was born, the hospital I was born in, the doctor that signed, that delivered me in the Memorial Hospital in Mercer County, Princeton, West Virginia. Gives the date, the time that I was born, and even lists that I have had three other siblings. It even had a place that could be checked that if I had had siblings that had died. It was kind of interesting. I hadn't really looked at that for quite some time, but if you need proof that I'm an American citizen, I'd be glad to bring it and let you look at it if you've had any doubts about that. And because of that certificate, no one can challenge my American citizenship. I am a U.S. citizen. In fact, I can go anywhere in the world, and quite honestly, they can immediately recognize my speech. I could go to England, and they'd immediately recognize, well, you're from America. I could go to Japan and start talking, and they would immediately recognize that you're from America. I could go to Australia, start talking. Well, they recognize I'm from America. They've heard my accent via all the media that's available in our day. I would be recognized as an American citizen. And honestly, I think they could probably even pinpoint what part of the country that I'm from by my accent. However, I was always frustrated there in New York when Sharon and I would begin to talk and people would say, where are you from? And I said, well, they knew I wasn't from New York. The thing that frustrated me was that they always seemed to guess that I was from Kentucky. I don't know why they thought my accent registered Kentucky, but I guess maybe they've seen more movies on Kentucky with Kentucky actors. I don't know. Aren't you glad that you have a birth certificate? You know where you were born. You have a record of it because you don't remember your birth. Well, this morning we recognize in God's word, we are in possession of our birth certificate. It lays out all of the evidence that I have been born of God. It helps me to know that I've been born of God. I can read, I can study, I can examine it. And just as clearly as I pull out my own birth certificate, find my mother, my father, my place of my birth, I can open up this book and read it. And it tells me that I have all the marks of one that's been born of God. The way in which I speak and the way in which I do not speak also testify that I'm not somebody that's in close connection with this world. My conversation has been changed. My choice of words have been changed. And I can go to this book and I can understand why my language has been changed. So I have the recorded evidence of that birth. A birth which took place when I was a teenager. But you know, there are some of God's children and they have a vivid memory of that spiritual birth. They can tell you when and where and how. Others of God's children can't necessarily name that specific time or place. But they all have the recorded evidence of that birth found in the scriptures and found in their heart because God has done a work there. And the things that they once loved, they now hate. And the things they once hated, they now love. So we have seen that God has placed us in our study of the scripture here as full sons. That's been our emphasis the last couple of weeks. We are full sons, we're full daughters. The scripture tells us here in chapter 3, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ and put on Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. So we are the Lord's children and we are His with the full privileges of His family. Our passage that we've been studying and looking at here, there's some things that are revealed and I want to look at that here this morning. First of all, our passage reveals our birth family. You remember, and if you've looked at your birth certificate any time here in the past, as I've said, just as on my birth certificate, it's got to tell me who my mother was. It should tell me. Sadly, sometimes it's not there who the father is. But on my birth certificate, it tells me who my mother was, who my father was. Let's read again, beginning at verse 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God. The implication here is that this is none other than God the Father. God sent forth His Son. We're considering our birth family. Do I have evidence that God and His Son have had an impact on my life? Do I have the marks of Him being a father to me? Do I have marks of me having a brother named the Lord Jesus Christ? Where would I discover those marks? Well, they would be internal first, as the passage is dealing with, but they also have some exterior marks that mark me as one of His. So the emphasis here, first of all, throughout the passage that we find not only in verse 4, we find it also in verse 6 and verse 7, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son. Verse 6 says, and because ye are sons, God, speaking again, evidence of the Father, hath sent forth His Son. And then verse 7 says, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God the Father. I have internal evidence and I have external evidence of having God as my Father. So I'm considering here, this is something for you to look at, particularly in this course of Thanksgiving week. to see your birth family. You can pull out your birth certificate and read it as such, that God in His mercy sent forth His Son. And you notice that the way that this is written, this is a clear indication that the Lord Jesus Christ existed before He came into this world. When the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son. A Son that already existed. A Son that came. As the book of Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 makes reference to God. A Son is born. A child is born. A Son is given. So we have a Father. But we also have part of our birth family, the pre-existence of the Son. God sent forth His Son. I'm looking at the marks here of my birth family. I can come back to the Scriptures. I'm reminded as John wrote of the Lord Jesus, said of Him that He was in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. In the person of the Son, this pre-existent one, I have Word. Well, my birth certificate, it has written on it words. Words that define my name, my full given name of my father, full given name of my mother, the date, time, and place of my birth. God sent forth His Son, and His Son became the very Word, and so on the Word of God, I can come and examine and discover the consequences of how I was birthed into God's family. That Son became my life. That Son has become my light. And that very One became flesh, and He exuded God's glory, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I have a birth family. I can come back to this book and I can read it and I can discover and I can see the marks of the Son. I can look at the Father and I can see Him through all of the work that the Lord Jesus Christ did and how He reflected the Father. I can look at my own life and I can examine at my own life. Does my own life have any of the marks that I have been with Jesus? Do I have any of the marks of the Father on my life? I can go through this book. I can read the birth certificate and I can discover. Do I have a name that matches this name? Do I have a life that matches this life? Do I have a light that matches this light? So here the book of Galatians tells me I there's a Father involved in my life. There's a Son that's involved in my life. And then in verse 6, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son. So here we have a clear picture of not the word Trinity, but the persons of the Trinity, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So as my birth certificate lists my mother and my father, so my birth certificate mentions the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost that was involved in my birth. How did that birth come about? It came about by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I have a birth family. Just as Kevin said here this morning, just as we're thinking about Thanksgiving week, that we have God. And he hadn't been looking at any of my sermon notes. We have God. We have a birth family. But not only that, we recognize here that there's a birth sequence. As verse 4 began with, but when the fullness of time was come. So when I was conceived 9 months later, or 38 weeks, I think, or is it 39 weeks? Which is it? 38 or 39 weeks? You mothers should know this. So whatever the number of weeks is, I finished that number of weeks, that number of months, and I was born in the fullness of time. God brought me and brought you into this world. But then as we all grew up, sinners that we were, little rebels running our own lives and wanting to be in charge of everything, God in his grace brought us to himself. But in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. It was promised there in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. It was specifically laid out as to time by one of the Old Testament prophets. Listen, let me just remind you that Jesus could only have come exactly when he did come because God had already given that date in time for him to come. Daniel chapter 9, just listen as I read. Daniel, it's revealed to him, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. And all you have to do is go back and read the record of Ezra and Nehemiah to find exactly when Cyrus pronounced that the wall, that Jerusalem should be rebuilt. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. You see, God had already given the fullness of time when Jesus should come, would come, must come. He had no other time to come except when God put him in the womb of Mary. He had to be born because Daniel, it had already been revealed to Daniel that 483 years from the going forth of that commandment to the coming of Messiah, he had to come then. Otherwise, that prophecy would not have been fulfilled. And so there was a birth sequence of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've already quoted to you from Isaiah 9:6 that a child was promised to be born and a son would be given. Why would he come? In this birth family, the plan was to take in a people that had died in their sins and could not be reclaimed apart from God's grace. And so in Galatians 4:4 it says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. There's a birth sequence. The Lord Jesus Christ could come only at one moment in human history, and he did come at that time. You and I were born into this world as slaves, but we became chosen to be a son. And under that law, and under the law of nature, We were not part of God's family and could not be. You and I know that the strange thing of this is, you know we have adoption in our own family. And you know that when they adopted this little four-year-old boy, he's just a precious, needy four-year-old child. You could look at him as a little fella who needed the love of a mother, of a father, and of a family. Many children are chosen, little girls, little boys, for those very reasons. But you and I know something very different, because the record of the Scriptures records our condition, our natural condition, as being anything but something worth considering. So the Bible tells us, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Why did God send forth His Son? Why would the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost be engaged to save out a people for Himself? But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son to do what? To redeem us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. No one would want to adopt someone into their family that was going to be abusive to that family. Someone so very contrary to the character of that family. Which is exactly what God has done for us. But in His adoption, He would do for us what no human adoption could ever accomplish. Our grandson who's been adopted, he has the name of the family, but he can never have perfectly the character of his father, of his adopted father. But you and I, we're going to possess the perfect resemblance of God's own Son. He has predestinated to do something in us. And that work has already begun in the changing of us into the image of His own Son. We will be the perfect reflection. Our personality, our character will be carried into eternity. And there our redeemed persons will have every resemblance and mark of God's own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a birth family, and we have gone through a birth sequence. And so the Holy Spirit of God, who convicted us of our sin and made us to see our ungodly condition, brought us to repentance and faith, to trust that God would forgive us and God would save us. That birth purpose, we've already touched on it. And when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. And because, verse 6 says, that we are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. We have a birth purpose, that we might receive. What a promise this is. In verse 5, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption. That son placement of sons that we looked at last week, that we might receive this recognition by the Father that we are His. How can we know that we've had this recognition of the Son? Well, It's we recognize it in the fact that our desire is and we accomplish the task of obeying God's word. What is it marks us as sons? If you love me, Jesus said, keep my commandments. And there is in within the soul of each of us that have been born of God the desire. And not only the desire, but we accomplish. Not perfectly, but someday we will accomplish perfectly the obedience of a perfect walk with God. That is my destiny. That is your destiny. That we might receive the full recognition of the Father. And so, what is the emphasis of all of this? You and I, we've looked at how God has purposed to save us. Paul is emphasizing that because as I've been using this whole idea of my birth certificate, and I can prove to you where I was born, who my parents were, what time I was born, and where I was born, I can prove to you that I belonged to the Wilkerson family. I've told you about taking my family when my children were small, and we went back to Colonial Beach, Virginia, where my father was from. And there is Wilkerson's restaurant, owned by one of my cousins, my dad's cousins, probably about a fourth cousin to me. And Aunt Florence, she was married to one of the Wilkersons. I walked in, and Aunt Florence, as soon as I walked in the door, she saw me, and she said, we came in and we sat down, and she said, there's one of them. Because I look like a Wilkerson. I carry the traits in my facial features of a Wilkerson. There's no denying it. We have a purpose from God to grow into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are adopted sons and daughters. And the enemy is doing everything that he can to me personally and to you personally to make a bad reflection on that birth certificate. To challenge you about it. And that's really what's going on in the book of Galatians, isn't it? The whole point is that these men had come in and they were saying, well, no, you're not really born. You're not really part of the family yet until you do this and this and this and this. And here you have a book, you have a letter written so that you can know your name's on the birth certificate. That you've been born of God. And he's reminding them of the work that God had done already in their hearts and lives. He had started chapter 3, O foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. Only this would I learn of you, received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. And he comes now to chapter 4 and he reminds them that God has already made them sons and they have the evidence of their birth by that cry that has risen in their soul. And so when you kneel or you pray at your table and you approach God, You already have that cry within you to God. This young woman who has turned her back on all of her Indian gods, she may have prayed to them, but there could never have been any internal sense in her soul that God was going to hear her. But now, this is real in her. As it's real in you. There is a cry. Where is it coming from? It's coming from the very core of our being. And because ye are sons of God, because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His sons into your heart. The very soul of your person now has a relationship with the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And you have this privilege of crying. But the text, as we look at the text is actually saying that it is the Holy Spirit within you that is crying. It is Romans chapter 8 where it says that we cry. But here, the Holy Ghost is inside of you crying. Sometimes I make Him cry. And it is a cry. Can you imagine that the third person of the Trinity has lodged Himself inside of your very soul? He has brought you to life before God. And there He is living in a vessel that still sins. Why do you think the Holy Spirit is crying? He's crying for our forgiveness. He's reminding the Father that the blood has been applied, that this one is in the family, and He is praying for us. And as Romans says, we are also praying as well. We have this cry inside of us, Abba, Father. God has taken in to His family the worst of the worst. We are a people that have been saved by God's great grace. Regeneration, the Lord speaks here, Paul speaks of here, of us being redeemed. And the redemption side of this is where God has brought us into the family. We now have the nature of children by regeneration, by birth. But by adoption, we now have the rights of those children. And so we may cry and plead God's mercy and forgiveness to us. It has come to us as a sovereign act of the Father. That birth certificate tells me my mother and father. The birth certificate does not say that I brought myself into this world. That birth certificate tells me that two others brought me into this world. This tells the scripture that we are seeing here. We see it is a sovereign act of the Father to give you His Son and to give you His Holy Spirit. And all of this came into our lives by faith. A faith that was given to us. Yes, it is the cry of the Holy Spirit, but we also, according to Romans chapter 8, we also cry. His cry prompts your cry. And it is the assurance that we are sons, and because ye are sons. And without us, if we had not been sons, we would never have this cry from within. And furthermore, he says in verse 7, wherefore thou art no more a servant, you're a son. The wherefore means so that, because the fullness of time God sent His Son to redeem us, and having redeemed us by faith, we have already become sons, and because we are sons, we have the cry of Abba Father in our soul, so that thou art no more a servant. Wherefore thou art no more a servant. You're no more a bondslave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. What does this open up for us? We're no longer a servant of sin. We don't have to serve sin. We are sinners. We discover sin within us. We confess it. We forsake it. The cry goes out, God, Father, forgive me. And cleanse me and wash me. As 1 John speaks of the blood being yet there for us when we do sin. My little children, John would write, sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. So the desire for us is to obey. We have now become heirs of God. We'll see this more as we look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. You want to understand a little bit more? We'll come to this as we see the practical living out. He says here in chapter 5, verse 1, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Part of our privileges of being a son, we now have liberty. Liberty to love God. Liberty to walk with God. Liberty to obey God. Liberty in prayer. Liberty in praise. Liberty in worship. And all because God intended by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ to redeem us, that we might receive the adoption, the full placement of sons. We have this assurance of sonship by the promises of God's word. Let me ask you finally to turn to the little book of 1 John. 1 John. Let's notice something here in this third verse. 1 John chapter 3, I'll leave you to think on two thoughts here. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. You can't live there. The word commit there doesn't mean that you have now ceased from ever sinning again after having been born of God. If that were the case, then it would certainly not make any sense whatsoever. Chapter 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. So how do we take... what is in chapter 1, verse 9, and take chapter 3 and verse 9. Well, we understand the apostle is referring here, we can't stay in sin. We do sin, but we can't live there. Whosoever is born of God doth not habitually sin, for his seed, here's what I want to emphasize to you, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot be comfortable, if I can add those words, because that's what's being implied. He cannot live, he cannot be comfortable with sin. Because he is born of God. You and I may sin, but we hate it. It grieves us to no end. And we ask for forgiveness. And we can't continue in it. Though we may battle with it, and battle with it till the very last breath of your life. Here's your birth certificate. Take a good look at it. Whosoever is born of God can't love or live in sin, because there's royal seed that's been put into us. And we have the marks of the family. 1 John chapter 4, verse 13. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. If you have not the Spirit of God, Romans 8 says, then you're none of his. So as you read your birth certificate, you see the evidence of the impact of the royal seed of the Father, the royal seed of the Son, and the royal seed of the Holy Ghost. You know that you have been adopted. You've been placed as full sons and daughters. You're no longer a bondservant. And yet, your desire and longing is to serve the Father. But you're not seen as that by the Father. That may be the heartthrob, but the Father's not looking you at as some mere servant. He's looking at us as sons and daughters who are dearly loved and cherished. Cherished so much as to send his only begotten Son to redeem us. Buy us out of the slave market. Bring us into the family. You and I that had been enemies by wicked works, by an evil mind, have been saved and changed. And there's your birth certificate. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for your work of mercy to my soul. I'm a sinful man. It grieves me that I sin against you. Sometimes easily fall. Oh Lord, help me. I could never bow before you and say, I have no sin. But I thank you, Lord Jesus, for your precious blood. I thank you that you've put it into my heart to confess my sins and to trust that the Lord Jesus is faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Thank you for this mark of adoption. You're not holding me at arm's length. You do not count me as one that does not have full standing in your sight. Thank you for this privilege to pray, to come into your presence, and that you've made me an heir. So, Father, I thank you for the Lord Jesus, the gifts and promises that you've made. Oh, Lord, that sinners might hear this and long to know God. Heaven has now been opened. Sinners may come and be freely received. Thank you, Father, for what you've done for us. I ask your blessing on your word. Encourage our hearts. Send us out into this world. There's many more yet to be adopted, more to be birthed. And use us, I pray, of our life and testimony, and let there be nothing in me that mars the name of Jesus. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we haven't sung number 221 in the red hymnal in a while. And in light of Thanksgiving and in light of what we've looked at in the scriptures, just seems like a good song to sing all three verses. Hymn number 221, you can join me standing as we sing all three verses. Some thank the Lord for friends and home, for mercy sure and sweet. But I will praise him for his grace. In prayer I would repeat. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. Some thank him for the flowers that grow, some for the stars that shine. My heart is filled with joy and praise because I know he's mine. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. I trust in him from day to day. I prove his saving grace. I'll sing this song of praise to him until I see his face. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free.